Lokadipatyam. Proprietorship of the planet. Cha and Veda Shastravit. One who knows the purport of Vedic literature. Arhati deserves. Translation. Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. Please repeat. Since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. Srila Prabhupada has written a rather extensive purport. I'm going to read some parts and then comment. And let me say first of all that I committed an offense last night of leaving the Jamuna tribute early on the plea of coming back to my room to prepare Bhagavatam class. What happened when I got back to my room? Krishna would not let me concentrate to prepare Bhagavatam class. All I could think of was the glories of Jamuna Devi. So I just gave up, went to sleep. And this morning, I was looking over the verse and purport to see one more time if I could prepare something. And presto, Krishna let me connect every paragraph of this purport to Jamuna Devi. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, that's what happened. Srila Prabhupada's purport, first paragraph. In this verse, it is very, let me say first of all, that based on the verse, I'll just read the verse again since I probably disrupted your train of thought. The verse again says, since only a person who is completely educated according to the principles of Vedic knowledge deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. So I connected the verse this way to Jamuna Mataji, that just as King Prithu, though highly qualified himself, very qualified person, he wisely and humbly let the four Kumaras rule him and offered everything back to them. So Jamuna Devi Dasi, a formidable person in her own right, but by dint of her sincerity, her spiritual sincerity, she very wisely and humbly let Srila Prabhupada rule and remake her as a devotee. So that was the first way I tried to connect it. And because she did that, she that surrender and that sincerity allowed her to go deeply into Srila Prabhupada's vani, his eternally manifest presence as his instructions and his vibration. That's what's eternally manifest. The Bapu is not manifest, but the Vani is eternally manifest. So by dint of her utter, absolute, complete surrender to Srila Prabhupada, she was able to manifest that herself, Prabhupada's presence. First paragraph, purport. In this verse, it is clearly very clearly stated that a kingdom, state, or empire must be governed under the instruments of saintly persons and brahmanas like the Kumaras. When monarchy ruled throughout the world, the monarch was actually directed by a board of brahmanas and saintly persons. The king, as the administrator of the state, executed his duties as a servant of the brahmanas. It was not that the kings or brahmanas were dictators. Again, it was not that the kings or brahmanas were dictators, nor did they consider themselves proprietors of the state. The kings were also well-versed in Vedic literatures, and thus were familiar with the injunction of Sri Isha Upanishad. Ishavasyam midam sarvam. Everything that exists belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also claims that he is the proprietor of all planetary systems. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Since this is the case, no one can claim to be proprietor of the state. The king, president, or head of the state should always remember that he is not the proprietor, but the servant. So before we make a comment about that paragraph, we will say, Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshuru Viritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vacha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Pakitana Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So that whole first paragraph about proprietorship. For example, Jamuna Manaji had a beautiful voice, has a beautiful voice. And we hear it every day. Govindam Adi Purushyam Tamaham Vajami. So that's where I first met Jamuna in her voice, as most of us do, as most of us now always do, on the Govinda record. And then I met her voice again, as I mentioned last night at the community hall, on an old Golden Avatar cassette, which was a wild cassette. Dinanath Prabhu, leading these Delhi kirtans, it was just purified passion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! It was like really... And then nicely counterpointed by Jamuna's very plaintive and soaring rendition of... I especially remember the way she sang the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Prabhupada. Prabhupada. So I thought, this is better than Gracie Slick. You don't know who Gracie Slick is, the lead singer of the Jefferson Airplane. I thought for a long time, I thought she must have been Gracie Slick because her voice sounded identical. When the truth is found to be lies, you know the joy within you died. It sounded just like Jamuna. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya. This is Gracie Slick has joined the Hare Krishna. This is wonderful. But she's better than Gracie Slick. She's Gracie Slick with bhakti. So Jamuna had a beautiful voice, has a beautiful voice, and she just used it to wisely surrender unto Srila Prabhupada and the holders of the succession of Lord Krishna. And so that comes through when you hear her sing. You hear such intelligence. It's such an intelligent voice. It's full of buddhi. It's full of sharanam. It's full of kripa. And it's just an amazing voice. Everything is in sound. And when you hear Jamuna Devi Dasi's voice, you can hear all the qualities that she manifested when she walked among us. Compassion, surrender, love, like that. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the present age, the king or president forgets that he is the servant of God and thinks of himself as servant of the temple of the people. The present democratic government is proclaimed to be a people's government, a government by the people and for the people. But this type of government is not sanctioned by the Vedas. The Vedas maintain that a kingdom should be governed for the purpose of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and should therefore be ruled by a representative of the Lord. The head of the state should not be appointed if he is bereft of all Vedic knowledge. In this verse it is clearly stated, Veda Shastra Vidarvati, that all government posts are especially meant for persons who are well conversant with the teachings of the Vedas. In the Vedas there are definite instructions defining how a king, commander-in-chief, soldier, and citizen should behave. Unfortunately, there are many so-called philosophers in the present age who give instruction without citing authority, and many leaders follow their unauthorized instruction. Consequently, people are not happy. So how did I connect that? Okay, so unlike modern leaders who say one thing and do another, who give pretty speeches and then just do what they want to do, Jamuna radiated a beautiful example in her life. Her example was that along with being very spontaneous and very much like we heard Srila Prabhupada said, she has already attained Baba. She was at the same time, her example was ultra chaste and focused. And like we heard Sitala Mataji read last night, how Prabhupada once looked out his window in Hawaii on a beautiful property in Hawaii, and Jamuna was very focused and just chanting. And Prabhupada was observing her and remarked, just see, that's a Vaishnava. Just satisfied, just a chant. Simply be absorbed in the holy name. So Jamuna, as effervescent and spontaneous as she was, how did she was empowered to do that. That was her personality, but the purified Jamuna came through because of her full absorption in the holy name, which blessed her with such compassion and blissful serving mood. And that example qualified her to take us deeply into Vaishnav loving exchanges, and sometimes in humorous ways. So I've told this before, I just put it on the internet, but I can't resist, because it was when I finally did meet her in person after hearing her voice on Govinda, every day, reading the deities, and then hearing her voice on Delhi Kirtans. 1993, I actually met her in South India. And I was there with my wife and daughter, and we were seeing if we'd been invited by Abhiram Prabhu, who was trying to start an international community. Shari Prabhu was there for a while, and Shamanasaki. And so Abhiram also invited his dear friend Jamuna. So Jamuna and Dinatarani came. We heard they were coming, but they came one morning. Two parts to the community. There was an ashram in this village, Kollur, and then there's this, what we now know as the Bhaktivedanta Eco Village, about halfway up this mountain behind the village, called Kutachandri, Kutakachala, if you look in Bhagavatam. It's where Lord Vishwadeva left his body. It's a holy place. So I was cleaning the bungalow with my wife and daughter. We were all kind of neat-nicks, just cleaning. And then I heard some footfalls on the path, and then I heard someone singing the Govinda prayers. And I was cleaning, and I know that voice. And I ran out. It's Mata Jamuna! And she looked at me, and she said, Father Sarveshwar. In two witty words, she bridged the great male-female divide, and we became friends in spirit, instantly, just by those witty words. So how was she able to do that? She was empowered to do that by her surrender to Srila Prabhupada. She was not an ordinary woman, she was a Vaishnavi. And so, and then she shared with me something else funny too. We got talking after that, and then she said, because it was the first time we'd met, and so she said, "You know, Sureshwar, there was a time when the Hare Krishna movement was really small, when I could tell, just by talking with somebody for a few minutes, where they joined, when they joined, who their leader was, just by their attitude." And then we laughed again and again and again. Anyway, so Jamuna is empowered by her surrender to Prabhupada. Third paragraph, Prabhupada continues, as Prabhupada often did, transcendentally ranting against modern government, which is simply killing people, basically. "The modern theory of dialectical communism set forth by Karl Marx and followed by communist governments is not perfect. According to Vedic communism, no one in the state should ever starve. Presently, there are many bogus institutions which are collecting funds from the public for the purpose of giving food to starving people. But these funds are invariably misused. According to the Vedic instructions, the government should arrange things in such a way that there will be no question of starvation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that a householder must see to it that even a lizard or a snake does not starve. They also must be given food. In actuality, however, there is no question of starvation because everything is the property of the Supreme Lord, and he sees to it that there is ample arrangement for feeding everyone. In the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13, it is said, Eko Bhunam Yogadati Kaman. The Supreme Lord supplies the necessities of life to everyone, and there is no question of starvation. If anyone starves, it is due to the mismanagement of the so-called ruler, governor, or president. Believe you me, nobody starved in Jamuna Devi Dasi's company. Expert cook, the cook extraordinaire of the Hare Krishna movement. It was stunning when she came out with that Lord Krishna's cuisine and it won, you know, first place in her category of cookbooks, vegetarian cookbooks. It was a world contest and she won. So at that same time, when Jamuna and her lifelong friend Dina came to take a look at this community in South India, at first she stayed with us down in it was called Garuda Guha, and it was Christmas season. It was like right around this time of year. And it was, Christmas was approaching, so Christmas Eve was Ekadashi. It was Ekadashi, and Jamuna determined, she decided that she was going to cook and offer a nice Ekadashi feast to the Lord. So, but there were formidable challenges. The kitchen was not up to par, to say the least. It was rather crude, and plus it needed a bad cleaning. And plus, it was also the abode of a giant black snake, whom we later learned actually was a blessing because he kept away the rats. But anyway, there was a big black snake in the kitchen. And also there was a lot of monkeys around. A lot of monkeys. Not as aggressive as the monkeys in Vrindavan. They were more cute guys. But they were still, you know, they liked food like everybody. And so the first task was to clean the kitchen and then the veranda also, because the kitchen was kind of small. So us guys were absorbed in trying to repair this. There was a big well on the property and it was busted. And we wanted to repair the well. So that was the first challenge, water. We kept hauling, you know, buckets of water over, but we didn't have running water at the time. The pump was broken. So Jamuna and Dina, and also Madame Mahaprabhu's former wife, late great wife, she helped Jamuna and Dina. But first, Jamuna had to get some provisions. So she went into this little village, Kolur, and it's just a little tiny place. There isn't much going on there in terms of anything, you know, food or, you know, supplies or whatever. But somehow she came back with, and it was a kanashi too, so she came back with foodstuffs suitable to cook and offer on a kanashi. Meanwhile, the kitchen was being cleaned, the veranda was being cleaned. So then, and then we were busy with the well, and my wife and daughter, they were down the river, the Soparnika, washing clothes and bathing and just trying to keep it together just to survive, you know, in India. So it was a very, it was pretty much just a few ladies, you know, trying to do the whole thing under very crude conditions. So Jamuna got back, she had bought everything she could find that was suitable, and then she proceeded, this is by the afternoon now, to cook a feast. Okay, so we're still in the well, and my wife and daughter are still at the river, and then afternoon goes on, it turns into twilight, and then the gas goes out, because there was hardly any propane left, and it was running out, and it was the holiday season, and there was no way to get more gas. So, luckily, the cooking was done by the time the gas ran out on this little, I guess it was a Coleman stove. Kerosene? I guess it was, okay, kerosene was appropriate. Thank you. And so now dusk, you know, dusk, that's the dark side of twilight. It's coming, it's hardly any light. So we light candles, or Jamuna had the idea. She lit the candles, and she makes the offering. And she makes the offering, and then she insists, and you know, she's been fasting all day and cooking, and she insists on serving the whole, the kanasi, Christmas Eve feast to all of us. She insisted she would not take no for an answer. And we put out these plastic mats and we had, it was candles, candlelight. And while she was serving the feast, she was telling us these really intimate Prabhupada stories. So we were, and then we were just, you know, tasting this feast. It was like, we heard this letter last night from Ramaswar Prabhu saying that he still remembers. He still remembers the taste of Jamuna's prasadam from Los Angeles while she was testing her cookbook recipes. So it was like that. It was like every taste was Se prene koro ashwatthana Prasada Devaya Part 2 Tasting the Sha Esha Krishna Yasvatilo. Every crack was imbued with love of God. So we're feasting on this incredible Christmas Eve Ekadashi Prasadam, and then hearing through the ear these amazing Prabhupada stories with Jamuna, and we were just knocked out completely. And I don't think I've ever experienced a better Christmas than that. It didn't get any better than that. So we did not starve. In fact, we feasted on prasadam and feasted through the years. Next paragraph. Okay. It is clear, therefore, this is the concluding paragraph. It is clear, therefore, that a person who is not well versed in the Vedic injunctions, Veda Shastra Vit, should not run for election as president, governor, and so forth. Formerly, kings were Raja Rishis. They were kings, but they were also sages, Rajarshis, Raja Rishis. Which meant that although they were serving as kings, they were as good as saintly persons because they would not transgress any of the injunctions of the Vedic scriptures and would rule under the direction of great saintly persons and brahmanas. They were dharma. They were purified passion. Like Bhima, the Pandavas. They were heavy-duty, thoroughbred, passionate kshatriyas, but their passion was all given to the Lord. So same with Priti Maharaj. According to this arrangement, modern presidents, governors, and chief executive officers are all unworthy of their posts because they are not conversant with Vedic administrative knowledge, and they do not take direction from great saintly persons and brahmanas. Because of his disobedience to the orders of the Vedas and the Brahmanas, King Vena, Prithu Maharaja's father, was killed by the Brahmanas. Prithu Maharaja therefore knew very well that it behooved him to rule the planet as the servant of saintly persons and Brahmanas. This is called Bhaktikarya. Bhaktikarya. This is the thick, intimate, sweet relationship between authentic Brahmanas and authentic Kshatriyas. The Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas through wisdom and the proper values and the proper attitude, and the Kshatriyas protect the Brahmanas physically so the Brahmanas can peacefully study and do their sacrifices, practice their sadhana like that. So how does that relate? So as Prithu was well aware of the consequences of disobeying the Brahmanas, right, because his father was killed by the Brahmanas. Ha! Hanta! Hanta! Kill him! Kill him! No more. They couldn't take Vena. They couldn't take it. So as Prithu was well aware of the consequences of disobeying the Brahmanas who killed his father. So Jamuna was concerned. She was also well aware. She was concerned that we not stray from Prabhupada's mood and mission. And so Jamuna, she spent the last decade of her life transmitting Srila Prabhupada's mood and mission to everyone she met, but especially because she was a reclusive person, she was living in Sharanagati, especially she was giving it to, as we heard last night, to her dear milkmaids, to the young growing girls at Sharanagati. Ladies are traditionally the purveyors of culture. They're the protectors of culture. That's why you have the ladies auxiliary and the ladies this and the ladies that, because that's their part of their dharma. They are very sensitive and they're very concerned that we not lose things, that things don't get lost in the shuffle. So Jamuna Devi, being a Vaishnavi, she was also very, very concerned that all the matchless gifts she had been given by Srila Prabhupada not be forgotten. So she was always passing it on to others. When you met her, it was always an experience. She was giving you Srila Prabhupada. That's the one thing I was able to share last night. I was able to share what I read from Giriraj Swami, who told the wonderful story of Jamuna going deep into Srila Prabhupada's Vani, because she knew that this defining incident in Allahabad in 1971, when she was sitting at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, as she always did ever since the Haight-Ashbury days, and she was always just used to being at Prabhupada's lotus feet. But by 1971, the Hare Krishna movement was exploding all over the world. And there she was with Srila Prabhupada in India, in old India. And traditionally, the ladies sit apart, separate. And so there was Jamuna and a pandal in Allahabad at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And a sannyasi said, Jamuna, you see how the Indian ladies are sitting apart? Why don't you do that? This is actually proper. And so, Giriraj Maharaj didn't say this in his writing, but Jamuna started to talk about this, because I was asking her about this in the community hall 2 years ago. She didn't get to finish it, but Giriraj got the full nectar and he finished it. She said, when the sannyasi said that to her, she looked at him, and she looked at the Indian ladies, and she looked at Srila Prabhupada, and she said she thought, all right, I'll try this and see what it's all about. So she moved. Actually, Prabhupada wasn't there yet. That's right, Prabhupada wasn't there yet. So then Prabhupada came out, and there was Jamuna, you know, sitting apart. And then Prabhupada spoke. And then later on, Jamuna said, she was walking by Prabhupada's tent. And she said Prabhupada knew it was me walking because he could see the border of my sari from the bottom of the tent. He knew it was me. So he called me, Jamuna, come here. So she came, and so he said, "Sa, you do not like to hear me anymore?" And that was too much, because Jamuna, her life and soul, was hearing from Srila Prabhupada. So she just burst out in tears, and then she told them every detail of what had happened before Prabhupada spoke. And she asked him, or she just sort of put that out there to Prabhupada, like, this is what happened. And then Prabhupada just looked down and was silent. That silence, in that silence, was the defining moment of Jamuna's, a turning point in Jamuna's relationship with Prabhupada. From that moment, Jamuna said she knew it was not going to be the same externally. That if she wanted to be close to Srila Prabhupada, she really had to go deep, deep into what it meant, serving and separation. And learn how to be as close to Srila Prabhupada in separation, even closer than when she's physically with him. And so even though it was emotionally traumatic and painful, that she actually did it. She actually did it. And if she did have other sweet exchanges with Prabhupada, you know, in close physical proximity, but she got the message in 1971. So she began to cultivate that deep service and separation mood. And that's why when we would meet her, everyone who met her later was so amazed. Why? Because they were getting Prabhupada through her. That's called parampara. This is the mystery of the disciplic succession, Prabhupada writes in his purport to Gita 1875. Vyasa prasadaschudava. Prabhupada says in the purport to that verse that the mystery of the disciplic succession is transparency. So when you met Jamuna, she was so transparent to Prabhupada. She was full of Prabhupada's wisdom and compassion and love and spontaneous Krishna consciousness that it was stunning. It was stunning. And so as Guru Maharaj ended it, he said, "So she is my mentor too." So, so I'm sorry I left early last night, but I'm so thankful to Srila Prabhupada that he was able to let me connect King Prithu, his mood, his surrender to the Kumaras, with Jamuna Devi Dasi's surrender to Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna, and they're inviting us to also be in that same mood so that we also transmit pure Krishna consciousness to everyone we meet. So, Jamuna Devi Dasi ki jai, Prithu Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna.
Very, very moving class. Thank you. it seems that this last pastime described the Jamuna and Prabhupada, that Prabhupada kind of went along with the instruction that the sannyasi gave. So not just a turning point for Jamuna, but it seems like it's a turning point for all Krishna ladies. And you know, sometimes we hear a different story, you know, that it was misogynistic men that pushed the women out of the way. But Prabhupada, being time, place, and circumstance, the candidate for justice initially to get the movement started, it seems that he's actually behind the transformation from the very early days.
Everybody hear that? incredibly defining point in Jamuna's life when Prabhupada heard her and then looked down and didn't say anything. It was also a turning point in the history and the culture of the Hare Krishna movement. I would agree, and that's why I asked her that question. I tried to ask the same question at that community hall, you know, 2 years ago, next month, or tomorrow, in January. And it didn't quite come out right, and she wasn't able to finish it. But she did finish it with Giriraj Maharaj. You know, she had already told the story to Giriraj, because they were so close, you know, going through the fire of ordeal with Prabhupada in Vrindavan, and in India, period. So, yes, there's time, there's place, there's circumstance, there's country, there's candidates, but most of all, there is the lesson of learning what it means how to associate with a spiritual master. I've told the story many times of my whole, how I got the message on a morning walk with Prabhupada in Miami Beach when I was in abject maya. I was a book distributor. I didn't want to do it though. I wanted to work on the books, which I did later on. And I was walking with Prabhupada, and you know, there was a handful of devotees, but I was in total maya. Total maya. I was so disturbed. And so my temple president knew that. And so he said, "Hey, Sureshwar, you want to go on a morning walk with Prabhupada?" So I said, "Yeah, I need it." So I stopped in back of Prabhupada's head, and I was just looking at his head. I didn't hear the question. I didn't hear Prabhupada's answer. I was just looking at his head. Yeah, I'm right in back of Prabhupada's head. Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and I'm right in back of his head. Jai. I was looking at his shikha, you know, the three silver strands of hair that had traveled to the bottom of his, you know, the male pattern bonus, and I was looking at Prabhupada's shikha. And so I got a very clear message from Krishna. Yeah, you're right in back of Prabhupada's head, but you are a million light years away from Srila Prabhupada. You are in such mind. So that message was very clear. It wasn't a voice in the sky. It was just a very clear heart transmission. So it produced intensely conflicted emotions. The emotions were, oh my gosh, I'm in such maya. I'm right next to Prabhupada, but I'm in such maya. But then I became very happy. Yes, someday I can meet Srila Prabhupada on the transcendental platform. Yes. So that is the point we all have to come to. And Jamuna got it, even while she was still had intimate, you know, physical exchanges with Prabhupada, face to face. But she got it that moment. We all have to be able to experience the intense presence of our spiritual masters, Shiksha Diksha, especially our founder Acharya, our group leader, our foundational master, Srila Prabhupada, who makes it all go and makes it all work. We have to feel his presence in separation as much or more than if we ever had it physically or when we see it on the films like that. And Jamuna had that, and therefore she was able to give it. But yes, there was a certain truth, veracity to what you're saying, because they were in India, and that was especially the culture, and Prabhupada didn't find that in America. He saw that these boys and girls are educated the same, so I'm going to let them live in the same community. And Prabhupada later said to Shuddha Kirti, "My godbrothers criticized me, but because I have made this adjustment, I am successful." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And so he got roundly criticized for that. But he knew, Prabhupada knew, with his transcendental buddhi, his empowered intelligence, the difference between an untouchable principle and an adjustable detail. So yes, it was a defining moment, and those defining moments, they will play out differently in different countries all over the world. The way Krishna consciousness takes root and is expressed will take will take many different forms and shapes as Krishna consciousness actually goes to every town and village. The principles won't change, but the expressions and the adjustments will have to be made according to time, country, candidate. If you want to read more about this, you look at Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 23, text 105, the difference between dry renunciation and practical renunciation. Thanks for the question. Important. Michael Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Saraswara Prabhu, thank you so much for your class. I find that your words are very motivating. It motivates me to be a lot more submissive towards authority, so thank you. I just wanted to ask you, as we engage into our service, our duties, once in a blue moon or every now and then, the mind jumps out and says, whoa, I'm not doing this. You know, so that sense of rebellious, I mean, like, where is that coming from? And how does one put it back in line?
Everybody hear the question? Sometimes, the mind is always doing that, right? What's the difference between the mind and the intelligence? Prabhupada said, if you're standing on top of a building and the mind, and something says to jump, and something says don't jump, the mind says to jump and the intelligence says don't do it. Yeah. So, just don't invite your mind to the party. My dear mind, you are such a party pooper. You're not invited to this japa session. You're not invited to some kirtan. You're not invited to associate with the devotees. All you do is find fault. All you do is you want to just hanker and lament. You are such a rascal. You're not invited to the party. Please stay home. I'm going back to Godhead. Where does it come from? It comes from our career, our career in the material world. Anadikaramakale, since time immemorial. So, it's a bad master. We just have to leave it or make it our friend. Uttare atmanatmanam manasane atmaiva kyatmano manhur atmaiva viparatmanam. A man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Bandaratmatmanastasya manajitaha manatmanastashatruve bhartitatmaiva shatruvat. Translation. Best of friends, but for one who has failed to do so, for one who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, but for one who has failed to do so, it'll be the greatest enemy. It's just like the steering wheel or the reins of the horses, whatever metaphor you want to, ancient or modern. If they're your friend, as long as you got a hold of it. Back to Godhead. As soon as you let go, off the road, in the ditch. Just control the mind. And how to do it?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
It's the only way. As Jamuna knew. I love Sita's description. For Jamuna, when she would chant her japa, she would just be so internal, she didn't even realize she was chanting, because she was just one with the holy name. She was just, there was no difference. She was the name. The name was her. That's japa. That's samadhi. So I completely agree with the sentiments, even though I left early, I completely agree with the sentiments of the devotees last night, what we experienced in that community hall. That is only the beginning of glorifying an authentic ISKCON Mahajan. We need to keep glorifying Jamuna, and I do pray that somehow it can be organized, that in Gaur Purnim there be a special, because devotees are going to come now from all over the world. I mean, we're already a little bit here, but they're going to come more and more and more. We need to have a special night, a Maha Jamuna tribute night. What do you think?
Yay!
Any more questions or comments? Madam Mohan, you're going to, on that night, you're going to be on stage, and we're not going to let you stop because you got so much mercy from Jamuna. This is the Sharanagati Vasi, emeritus. So, could you, if we have that, can you be there and do that? Okay, thank you. All right, I guess it's time to stop. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.